Chapter 5, Life in a New Home. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Ruth 1, verse 16. Well, the fortnight came to an end at last, and Ruth's uncle arrived. The little box was packed up, and Ruth left her home to live with her uncle. She was sorry to leave her dear father and her little brothers and sisters, but the thought of going to her aunt, who went to chapel, soon comforted her. And like it would be to all other children, the fact of going somewhere fresh was pleasing to her. It was a long ride to her uncle's home, but the good horse soon brought them along, and when Ruth went to her little bed that night, she thanked God for making a way for her out of her difficulties and for bringing her to her uncle's home. How little she knew what the future would be, and it was her mercy as well as ours that God holds the key of all unknown. She was told she must not write home too often or expect letters from home, as there was 2D to pay for every letter carried to the farm. Our little friend was now about 13 years of age. She was not very big for her years and looked so delicate that she seemed quite unsuited for the hard work of a farmhouse with its many duties and busy life. Ruth's aunt had several little children, and there was plenty to do with butter churning and baking bread and other things in the great oven. Then there was the milk to set for cream and to sell. But as I have said before, she was very industrious and fond of children, and the busy days passed quickly. Then there was always Sunday to look forward to, and at that time the beloved Mr. George Mockford was the pastor of Heathfield Chapel. Many times Ruth was helped by his encouraging remarks to young seekers, and she found the gospel to be a precious balm to her wounded spirit. She felt that she was a sinner in God's sight and needed a Savior, and as the minister exalted a precious Christ, it was food to her soul. This knowledge that she was a sinner was not only when she was in the house of God, but she felt it also when unable to get there, it being 3 miles from the farmhouse and somebody had always to stay at home with the little babies. When this was the case, our young friend would try and get away somewhere quiet and pray to God. One Sunday, when in great distress and longing to know that her sins were forgiven and all her faults pardoned, she went away at this particular time to a secret place for prayer, and there the Lord spoke to her. I do not mean in a voice that could be heard by others, but by his Holy Spirit he spoke to her heart, and the sweet words of the poet were brought to her mind. Payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. Oh, the beauty she saw in those lines, as she thought of the Lord Jesus taking the place of poor sinners, and suffering on the cross instead of them. And she ventured to hope that her guilt was there, and that the Lord Jesus suffered to put away her sins. Oh, how she felt to love him! And the time passed so quickly that she was afraid something might have happened to the children she was left to mind. She hurried back to them and was glad to find they were safe. After a time, Mr. Mockford, hearing about her from the friends, would sometimes write to her, and send it by an old friend, and this is how it was addressed to her. Ruth, traveling in the path between hope and fear. You must not forget that our little friend was very crippled. I expect some of you would have grumbled very much if you had half as much to do as she had in her aunt's house. You probably have the full use of your limbs. But Ruth was very persevering, and it is often astonishing what can be done if one tries. But for all this, she often had great difficulty in getting about, and would go up and down stairs on her knees, and would kneel to wash the dishes or the clothes. It was difficult to get boots made to fit her, and though this happened not so very long ago, and there were not the conveniences and helps for poor cripples then as there are now. But Ruth soon found, to her astonishment and sorrow, that she had more trouble before her. Her aunt, strange to say, no sooner found that Ruth wanted to go to chapel than she opposed it, and would often put obstacles in the way of her going, and as I have said, there were several young children to mind. Well, at this particular time about which I am writing, it had been that week after week Ruth had looked forward to going to chapel, and had been disappointed. It was now 6 Sundays, and she felt very, very sad about it. You all know what it is to expect to go somewhere very nice, and then not to be able to go, so you can understand something of what Ruth felt. However, her uncle, seeing her sad face as he drove off to chapel on the 6th Sunday, said, "Never mind, Ruth, you shall go next Sunday. I will see to that." This pleased her very much, for she knew her uncle would keep his word, and did what I expect you have all done sometimes, when you have wanted a special time to come ever so much. She began to count the days, and I am sure Ruth longed for Sunday to come, but she was to have another time of trial to pass through. Saturday morning came, and she thought, "Only one more day, and I shall go to chapel." But when her uncle came in, as usual, to have his lunch that morning, he looked across at her as she was washing up the milk pails, and said, "Well, my girl, I am afraid you will not be able to go to chapel after all tomorrow, for Darling has got the influenza." Darling was the name of the horse he drove in the little trap that took them to chapel. Ruth nearly dropped the pail she was wiping, and all the color went from her face. "Oh, uncle," she says, "I am sorry." He went into the kitchen to have his lunch and really felt very sorry for his little niece, and for he knew that she worked very hard and had little change or pleasure. Soon he thought of a bright idea, and calling her, said, "Ruth, I have been thinking of the old pony out in the field. She is right away from all the other horses and is quite well. We could have her tomorrow if you would like to clean the harness." "Oh, yes, I will clean the harness," said Ruth eagerly. "I don't mind doing that if you will bring it in." "All right, my little maid," replied her uncle, "you shall have it." Now, if we could have seen Ruth's face, what a change would have been noticed. It was now bright and cheerful and like sunshine after rain. That Saturday was a busy day, baking in the big brick oven and many other things, so that the hours went by quickly, and it had struck 10 by the old grandfather clock before Ruth could touch the harness. Family had all gone to bed, leaving Ruth in the big old wash house to get on with her task. She did not mind this, although she could hear the rats running about and trying to get into the corn tubs at the end of the wash house. She worked away with a good will until every buckle and button of that old pony's harness shone like gold, and every leather strap was blacked and polished like a boot. She hung it up in the usual place to dry, and just as the clock struck the hour of midnight, crept upstairs to bed. She was very tired, but happy at the prospect of going to the house of God the next day, and soon fell asleep.